What up, what up, what up? Thank you so much for tuning in to this episode of the Impact Sports Cincinnati podcast presented to you by Impact Sports Cincinnati. My name is Chris Asbrock, and I am your host today. And I am joined by a returning guest, one we have not heard from in a while, and I'm so glad he's making his return. Nick Cimino, welcome back to the show, my friend.
Thank you for having me, Chris.
Hey, man, we are back to discuss what we discuss literally every single day at 4:30 p.m., the lovely Cincinnati Bengals. And my friend, Lisa and I, you know, the funny part is we always joke about this, that we should discuss this. We should just record our conversations every day because we get, you know, let's be honest, we kind of feel like we know what we're talking about. You know what I'm saying?
Absolutely, 100%.
All righty. So the Cincinnati Bengals, we're going to take a trip down memory lane last year real quick, briefly. The Bengals finished 4-11-1. They finished last in the AFC North. Based off of what we saw, a 2-14 season back in 2019 in Zach Taylor's first year, we, like I said, we improved to 4-11-1. Nick, what are you thinking about what we saw last year? What were your kind of impressions from the 2020 Bengals?
Well, going into the season, I think the entire city and the fan base was going in with high hopes. You know, we had just drafted Joe Burrow. We're, you know, thinking we're going to turn the corner, and, you know, obviously things started off good. Joe looked amazing. You know, he was gaining a lot of respect around the league from other players and obviously teammates. But then the injury happens, and then just the wheels just fall off. But prior to the injury, I mean, Joe looked good. I mean, especially in the Tennessee game, that was an amazing game. We had Tennessee was a very good team that they beat in that season, and I mean, things were looking up. So I mean, obviously, once Joe goes down, you know, the wheels come off a little bit. But we managed to rebound. You know, the big win over the Pittsburgh Steelers. Regardless, you know, if we're playing with a third string quarterback, second string, or first, beating the Steelers is a big deal. So obviously, that was a huge win for the Bengals this season. So obviously, highs and lows, but everyone's still high on this team, and the players still believe in Zach and his message. So that's a good thing. So basically, not what we hoped for, but obviously, you know, it's still definitely a step in the right direction.
I couldn't have said any better myself. When you look at, I mean, like you were saying, Joe Burrow, you know, he started all 10 games he was, you know, he took part in. He was 2-7-1 in that, you know, during that span. He threw for 2,688 yards, 13 touchdowns, 5 interceptions. You know, for a rookie quarterback, not too bad. I mean, you kind of look at everything and, hey, I love, you know me, I was a Joe Burrow guy. I mean, I was pumping his tires all the way back in August of before the draft. Like, I was high on Joe Burrow when everyone else was still not, and they were kind of questioning it. And then, you know, he obviously cemented his, you know, his status in the, you know, in the championship game and semifinal and everything like that, you know, of what he is as a quarterback. And, you know, he definitely impressed here in Cincinnati in his first, you know, in his first season, 10 games in. But, you know, overall, when we look at what the Bengals offense was, let's give them, you know, we'll quickly touch on this. Let's give them final grades for the 2020 season offense. What are you going to say? What would you give them as their final grade overall? What are you saying there?
I mean, we can't do an incomplete. If we're going to do a final grade, I mean, incomplete would be the best way to say it, because obviously without having Joe the whole 16 games to see what he truly could have done, obviously he was definitely trending up in a lot of games we lost in the second half. Obviously, I think we could have won some of those games with Joe at quarterback. So, I mean, but I mean, obviously a step in the right direction. I mean, Allen gave us some good games. I mean, Ryan Finley, obviously they have to cater the game around his, you know, his skill set. But overall, I would give them a B.
Oh, man, you're going high.
I'm going B.
Overall, not just passing. I'm going B. Offensive grade.
Overall, offensive grade with B, just for the simple fact that I love the way that the offense still moved under. I mean, Zach was able to implement his offense to the team, and they still responded even with backup quarterbacks. They still were able to, you know, get things done. I mean, you know, Allen looked good for a couple of good games. You know, the injury obviously set him back as well. But I mean, they looked well, and I mean, the offense was clicking at points. So I mean, I don't want to say a C because they're definitely better than average. And I mean, I would definitely give them a B.
Man, you're a hell of a lot nicer than I am, because I was going to give them a D plus C minus.
Ooh.
Yeah, well, you know, But you brought up a really good point with the Joe Burrow factor, the incomplete part of it. They did deal with a lot of injuries. Joe Mixon only played in six games, you know. So when you look at everything there, Samaje Perine, he appeared in all 16 games. So did Giovanni Bernard. Trevion Williams only appeared in 10. You know, so again, you're right in that aspect of it, of the incomplete part. But I guess I'm also taking into consideration the way the team had played, and offensive line play was obviously was a big factor. That's a big talking point, and something we're going to discuss later on in this episode here too as well. But I think when you totality here and looking at it, I think that there could have been more to come away, that the Bengals could have come away with than what they did. I think 4-11-1. I mean, hell, right at the I think at the midway point of the year, I wrote an article about, man, this team could easily achieve 6, 7, even 8 wins based off of what we looked at moving forward. And it just wasn't there. They lost a lot of games that were close that never should have, you know. I mean, it seemed like it never should have got to that
I mean,
point, you
if you
know.
go back and look at the first 10 games of the season, and I mean, we've talked about this at length. The first game of the steel game against the Chargers, they lose 16-13, a heartbreaker.
Yeah.
They return the next week, they play the Browns and go into a shootout, and they lose by 35-30, a 5-point loss. Then they turn around, they play the Eagles, and they tie. Let's be honest, they should win. They should have won all three of those games very easily.
Now, if you're even, I mean, I would even give, I'm definitely with you on that. I think that they could have beat the Browns if the offense had played even just a little bit better, even the defense too combined. I mean, I'm fine with even giving them a loss and being 2-1 after, you know, those first
And
three
then and
games.
then even then being 2-1, then we rolled into the Jaguars, we win that game. Then we
Exactly.
roll into the Ravens game, which the wheels came off, and that was the first game Joe truly looked like a rookie, and we lose 27-3. But then the following week we're up 3 touchdowns on the Colts. We let them come back on us. They lose by 4. Then we lose a
Yep.
shootout to the Browns again, 37-34. There was another 2 games we should have easily won. And then you roll
Exactly.
into the Titans game. We win the Titans game going away. And then we play the Steelers because so they're the Steelers, and they obviously give us an issue in Pittsburgh. So we lose that game. But I mean, and then the next game we obviously played the Washington football team. This is the game that Burrow gets hurt in. We lose 20-9. But let's, in all honesty, I think most people around the area would say, if Burrow's playing that game, we're beating Washington.
Oh, every bit. Every bit. I mean, you look at it there right before the Pittsburgh game. I mean, that's the bye week. You know, that's 8 games in. That's the smack dab right in the middle of the season
They should have
there.
easily been 5-3, 5-3 at worst of the stretch.
Bingo. Exactly. 5-3. And then you come out against Pittsburgh. Okay, I'm fine with them losing that. So you're 5-4. Pitt or the Washington football team, like you said, Burrow plays, they win
Then
that.
they play the Giants.
Then they lose at home to the Giants in a game that, I mean, that was an absolute stinker of a game.
And if Burrow's there, that's a win.
Exactly. They lose to the Dolphins 19-7. Like, let's be honest, they beat the Dolphins.
They would have been. And then they play the Cowboys, and let's be honest, the Cowboys games, the best way to say that is the wheels came off defensively that game. I mean, plus Andy Dalton came back to town. Nobody expected Andy to come here and lose. So I think we lose that game even if Burrow was playing. So I mean, honestly. And then we beat the Steelers, we beat the Texans, and the last game of the season we literally get I nice
I mean, we got
we get
pummeled.
pummeled. I mean, I'm nice way to say we got pummeled. I mean, 38-3. We didn't look like a football team. You know what I mean? It was embarrassing.
Was. But you know, here's the thing. When you look at, again, like I said, the totality of the season, I would have to think that this team, even with better offensive line play, which again, we looked at early on, and who are we gonna blame for it? We're gonna blame Jim Turner. Plain and
We said
simple.
after we
Jim
knew after
Turner.
week 2 he needed to go.
Exactly. And you know, thankfully he's gone now. And now, you know, Frank Pollock has come back in. So we're gonna see a completely different offensive line mentality as well, along with players. Like I said, we'll touch on to that here in a little bit. But you know, so when we look at the offense, we're both giving them a passing grade. You obviously a lot higher than I am on that. Defensively, what are you thinking about? Great in terms of the defense for the
I
Cincinnati
mean, we had our
Bengals
ups and downs during the
before
season. I mean,
today.
but You have to look at the defense as a whole. I mean, we had a lot of injuries all season long. I mean, Sam Hubbard was hurt during the season. DJ Reader missed most of the season. Geno Atkins basically, from come to find out from you hear from the coaching staff and you hear from the GMs that he was hurt all season with the shoulder injury. So he's hurt. Carl Lawson misses a game. Jermaine Pratt, I think he was the only person on defense that pretty much remained healthy all season. Logan Wilson was hurt throughout the season. Josh Bynes missed a couple games. Mackenzie Alexander missed a couple games. Von Bell played the whole season. Jesse Bates played the whole season, and William Jackson missed games. So I mean, once again, we're missing, we're missing a lot of guys. Not to mention our big free agent splash last year, Trey Waynes misses the entire season. But defense as a whole, I mean, honestly, I'm very positive on defense. I absolutely love the defense, what they bring to the table every week with Jesse Bates, who's obviously all pro, I mean, all pro Pro Bowler. He's amazing. Von Bell brings a tenacity on safety. Those two guys together definitely work. They work well. And I mean, the defense, the linebackers are young. And I mean, I know you're a big fan of him as I am, Chris. Logan Wilson's amazing. Logan Wilson's the real deal. And I mean, overall defense,
100%.
well,
Yep.
I mean, I'm going to stick with my offensive score. I'm going to give him a B.
You know what? And that I am in agreement with. I would say even I would go as low as a C
C plus B.
plus,
Yeah. C plus
just
B. Yeah.
because. Yeah, I mean C plus B minus. Because here's the thing, this defense wasn't as bad. Now we did see some of the tackling issues, which those seem to always rear their ugly head every single season when it comes to the Bengals. But, and I have said this all along, a lot of people were out for Lou Anarumo's head, which, in my opinion, completely, I thought that was unfair because, and I, like I said, we talk every single day on my way home from work. It is like every, we discuss it every day. And I have told you, I don't know how many times, Lou Anarumo is the guy that has done the most with less than I have seen in this league in a while. For what he has been able to deal with, again, the front office went out and they dumped money in free agency to improve the defense. And again, a lot of guys were hurt. Again, the injury bug bit this team hard, especially on
Absolutely.
defense. With that being the case, I mean, Lou Anarumo, again, I think he did, I'm going to say, a relatively good job, if not a great job, for what he, for what he was handed. I mean, the cards he was dealt, the guy, overall, you look at it, I mean, they gave up 424 points, on the season, which was an average of 26 and a half a game. That was 22nd out of 32. But again, a couple of those games, it's, you're giving up, 35 to the Browns. You're giving up, or 35 and 37 respectively. You give up 36 to the Steelers and 38 to the Ravens. So, but a lot of those games, they were close. The Bengals played in close games that if the offense was able to step up and make a couple plays here and there, they get the victory. And they're not 4-11-1. We're not talking about, where the, where this team is, at this point in time. I think we're discussing a better, obviously a much better situation, on paper than what we are and, than what we're seeing right now. So, definitely a passing grade, I would say, for the, for the defense, especially with what they were dealt. Again, Lou Anarumo, God bless him. He has done a great job with very little to deal with. And I got to give him props for that. So, again, we're both going to give him a passing grade there. Let's see. The good old special teams. What are you going to say on that one, my
Special
friend?
teams, honestly, is probably one of the bright spots with our team. Darren Simmons has the team ready week in and week out. He's probably one of the best special teams coaches in the NFL, if not the best. I mean, that could be argued in the league. He's probably the best special team coach. And I would
Yep.
honestly say they're a B plus team on special teams. I mean, he's very easily. I mean, you're big on Alex Erickson. He's a steady punt returner. He had a couple drops this year where he had a couple issues with fumbling, but for the most part, he's on. And Brandon Molson is amazing as a kick returner. He's probably the first or second best kick returner in the NFL. They never give up long returns. Very seldom do they give up punt returns. They're always solid. So, I mean, I'm a B plus of special teams.
I'm right there with you. And I would even go, if it wasn't for Rainey Bullock, I mean, and I'm not going to bash on him. He's already been bashed enough, but I'm not going to put him on complete blast. But, if it wasn't for him, I would say, an every bit an A. Kevin Huber, again, He's 35 years old, but he's coming out and he shows why he is one of the best, if not the best punter in the NFL. The guy just is, he's simply incredible. Flat out incredible as a punter. And, you can't ask for much more from your punter than what you get from him. Randy Bullock, again, 12 games. Man, he had his fair share of misses this year, and that was the aggravating part of it all. And some games to where, you see it and you're like, well, hey, a kick there, if that goes in, we're in much better shape than what we're in. But Austin Seibert came in and did a, relatively good job. And hey, we'll go with that. But again, Alex Erickson, that's my
And I
boy,
mean,
as you always joke with me on that, but
obviously, I mean, like I said, back to Austin Seibert. I mean, obviously, with Bullock being a free agent after the season, and obviously, we're going to roll into free agents here in a minute. I expect the Bengals to roll forward with Seibert. I really do. They kept him on the team for a reason throughout the whole season instead of releasing him. And obviously, that was they let him stay behind Bullock for a long time until they realized Bullock's kept missing quite a few kicks, and they moved on to him. And he was solid. So I mean, I expect the Bengals to roll forward with Seibert going into next season.
I completely agree with you. Yeah. Again, the return game, you've got so many options. You've got Erickson, Wilson, Bernard, Samaje Perine. He returned a kick last year. So did Khalid Kareem. There's options back there for this Bengals team in terms of your returners. So, the options are, like I said, they're plentiful there for the Bengals. So, with that being the case, hey, again, anytime Darren Simmons is involved, it's going to be a great situation because, again, like you said, and you said it perfectly, Darren Simmons is hands down the I if not the he's definitely the best special teams coach in the league. Like you said, if not the best, he's right there. He
Absolutely.
is simply phenomenal. And Bengals are truly lucky to have him. He's been around here forever, and got to give him props for that because he's great. And everything else obviously shows with this team out. But he can't control the kicker shanking a kick to tie the game with seconds left. That's not on him. He controls everything else. The guy's got to execute when it comes down to it. And he's unfortunately, he's not in control of Randy Bullock shanking a kick.
Definitely not.
But yeah, it is what it is. So, coaching, let's wrap it up with coaching here and say what would you say grade wise, overall for the
I'd
coaching
give him a
staff?
C. I
Okay.
give him a C. I
Yeah.
mean,
I'm fine with
I'll give him a
that.
C overall wise, just because I think sometimes Zach gets in a little over his head. Sometimes as a guy who wants to call plays and wants to do a lot of offensive stuff, where he should probably leave a little bit after the Brian Callahan, but. I think towards late in the season, he started to realize that, and that's why I'm giving him a C. But I mean, I think honestly, I think overall wise, I mean, for what they had to deal with, the amount of injuries, I think a C is fair.
Fair enough. I completely agree. Because I think that I'm not going to put much on Brian Callahan just simply because, like you were saying, Zach Taylor did kind of overstep a lot on that. So, but I think the defensive and special teams, I think that canceled out what we saw in terms of Zach Taylor. But here's the thing, when we were talking early on in the year, about Zach Taylor, man, should he be gone? Dude, the guys were fighting for him. That says a lot right there. That says everything you need to see and hear was those guys were playing hard for Zach Taylor. So, with that being the case, you can't really bash them too much when the guys are coming out and playing for him, So, yeah, I'm definitely gonna have to agree with you on that. A C is, suffice. It could have been better. And I would say salvaged it when it could have been worse. So, got to give Zach Taylor, some props here and obviously the rest of the coaching staff. But this coming year is a very crucial year for Zach Taylor because, he's got to get it together. And if not, this could be definitely the last season that we see Zach Taylor as head coach of the Cincinnati Bengals if things go
I would
south
agree.
again. So, with that being the case, I think we're both going to say the Bengals, well, they did pass. Definitely could have been worse, but the Bengals finished with the fifth worst record in the league at 4-11-1, and they are granted the fifth overall pick in the draft this next month. But before then, we start off with the legal tampering starting tomorrow when it comes to free agents in the NFL, and the Cincinnati Bengals are expected to be, I'd say,
big
some
players.
Pretty active players in free agency again, which is something that, let's be honest, we haven't seen over the years. You know, a lot of people, and this is where I'm going to go off on my tangent like I, you know, always seem to, you know, people always rip the Bengals for being cheap and everything like that. But look, they went out and spent a boatload of money last year on defense. They thought they could get the job done with the offense that they had, an offensive line. Didn't work out like we thought. But you can't bash the team for spending money when they haven't done it, you know, and everyone wants them to do it. Bengals
definitely
can't
not.
Choosers. And that's the problem. They come out there and they bash this organization. This is no longer a Mike Brown team.
No, it's definitely not. I mean, as we spoke the other day, like I was saying, I mean, and you do your, if anybody does their homework, who's a true Cincinnati Bengals fan, because you have a lot of bashers out there, a lot of haters about Mike Brown, but Mike's not running the team anymore. It's not even Katie, his daughter, obviously. Like I was telling you, Katie's daughter, Elizabeth, is actually the one running the football team now. She runs the day-to-day operations. Katie's in charge of contracts and everything like that, but Elizabeth runs the team, and she wants to win. She wants to spend the money, and she's going to do what she has to do to help this team succeed in the future. So everyone should be excited. I mean, free agency is going to be, I mean, should be amazing. I mean, but I mean, I didn't mean to cut you off, Chris, but I mean, the Bengals, before they go look at any other, you know, players from other teams, because obviously that's what everybody wants to hear. They want to see a sign of somebody else. The Bengals do have 26 free agents this year. And I mean, out of the 26, one of them has already signed, which would have been B.J. Finney, which signed with the Steelers, but he was cut. But I mean, he would have been a free agent anyways. After him, you're looking at some pretty big name guys. I mean, like you just said, Kevin Huber, free agent. Marcus Hunt, A.J. Green, Randy Bullock, Josh Bynes, Mike Daniels, Sean Williams, who's been with us for years now, William Jackson, who was the first-round pick, Alex Erickson, Xavier Williams, who came over to be a stopgap filler and did his job late in the season, Mackenzie Alexander, big offseason signing for us, Stephen Carter, LaShawn Sims. Well, LaShawn Sims can leave because if you look at his stats, he's the worst cornerback in football. Christian Covington, who we brought over, I believe he was a trade. John Ross, my favorite guy. I hate to see him leave, but the door kind of hit him on the way out. I defended him for too long. But after John Ross, you have Brandon Wilson, Mike Thomas, who apparently Joe Burrow liked, and so did obviously Zach Taylor, Alex Redmond, Carl Lawson is the biggest name on the list. Alex Redmond, who has been back and forth with this team a lot. P. Ryan, your boy, Jordan Evans, Tony Brown, Mitchell Wilcox, Reginald McKenzie, and Amani Bledsoe. So we have 26 free agents currently on this team.
Now, here's the thing. What, you know, Bengals have always done a great job of re-signing.
100%. But I think this year is going to be different than most years. They have two guys. They have two guys.
So you're expecting
guys that can start on any other team in the NFL. William Jackson can start on most teams in the NFL. And let's be honest, Carl Lawson is starting on any other team in the NFL. Those two guys,
it's going to be,
I know we've talked about that all the time, these two guys. It's going to be interesting to see what happens with these two guys. As much as I want to see him back, I expect one back, and I truly expect one to leave. And if we had our choice, and you agree with me, is we want Carl Lawson back. William Jackson can leave.
Well, excuse me. I think if they're able to bring them back, you do it. Simply because, you know, they're familiar with the scheme and everything like that. But the key is these guys are all unrestricted.
Yep. Every one of these guys are, yep.
You know, excuse me. Yeah, I mean, that makes it difficult, you know, in terms of free agency target. But again, those guys, I mean, there's some big names on there.
Absolutely.
And list.
I mean, let's be honest here. I mean, we all expect Huber to be back. I mean, I don't think Huber's going nowhere. Hunt should be back. He played amazing down the stretch. It was amazing. He's 34 years old, but he still seems like he has a lot left in the motor and tank. He could be a guy come back on a cheap 1-2 year deal. As much as we all love AJ Green and what he's done for this organization, he deserves better, and he needs to go out. He obviously he'll be playing elsewhere next year. Randy Bullock, he'll be playing elsewhere next year. Josh Bynes is a funny one. I think Josh Bynes could go either way. I think he could be playing elsewhere, but I'm starting to hear rumors that the Bengals are also not besides Carl Lawson, but they're being heavy recruited. They're supposed to do heavy recruiting on Bud Dupree. So I could see Bynes being a guy on the outs because of Bud Dupree coming over. Mike Daniels,
Give
Mike
me Bud
Daniels has been
Dupree.
working out all offseason with Bengals gear. I expect Mike Daniels to be back. Sean
I
Williams,
agree.
he's going to leave because he doesn't want to sit behind Von Bell anymore. William Jackson, I think he could go either way. Alex Erickson, I'll let you answer that one. Xavier Williams, I think he'll be gone. Mackenzie Alexander is you would say, like you said, he's the nugget here because if William Jackson leaves, I think Mackenzie Alexander and Andrew comes back. If we keep William Jackson, I think Mackenzie Alexander's gone. And then
I think
Stephen
you're right.
Carter, I mean, he's a guy. He's a 1-year deal guy. He could come back. Sims, there's no way he's coming back. Covington, they liked him
My
down the stretch.
God,
You know,
no.
they played Covington a lot down the stretch. I don't think we need him anymore. Obviously, he was there because of injuries. John Ross, we all unfortunately John Ross, the experiment didn't work, and Marvin Lewis truly ruined John Ross. Brandon Wilson definitely will. I expect Brandon Wilson to be back. Mike Thomas. He's another one I expect to be back. Alex Redmond, I don't expect him back. I don't because I think the Bengals out. We'll talk about the outside free agents in a minute. Alex Redmond, he's a guard. I don't think he'll be back. Carl Lawson, I think the Bengals are going to do everything in their power to bring him back. He's only 26 years old. He's in the prime of his career. I truly expect him to bring him back. P. Ryan played amazing down the stretch. I love P. Ryan. I think he'll be back. Jordan Evans, I think he becomes the loss of a numbers game. I think he'll be gone. Tony Brown, he's a stopgap player. Mitchell Wilcox, same exact thing, stopgap. Reginald McKenzie, once again, stopgap last season because of injuries. And Amandi Bledsoe is also another player we brought in late in the year because of injuries. So out of 26 players, Chris, I would say if you were to agree with me about 10 guys out of that list come back,
Yeah,
10 to
I
14,
would,
10 to
you
14
know, here's
would be
the
back.
nope. I would say 10 to, yeah, I'd say 10 to 15. The Bengals are, like I said, they do a great job of bringing their own and taking care of their own and bringing them back. I can fully see that being the case again this year. But let's be honest, though, this team, they're going to make some, they're going to make some plays outside of this team. And going forward, we've heard a couple big names already that have been cut. And you look at it and you're like, okay, let's see what the Bengals can do. And again, with legal tampering, that's starting, now or well, tomorrow, I should say, that changes all kinds of, that changes everything right there. So, you look at some of the top free agents available. Trent Williams is available, Shaq Barrett defensively, Bud Dupree. Again, Carl Lawson, they've got Carl Lawson ranked sixth best free agent overall available. So that's
Oh,
something that's definitely
absolutely.
interesting.
And obviously, Shaquille Barrett from Tampa Bay, he's a free agent. He has not been re-signed. He's not expected to be re-signed after Tampa Bay is using money on both who's the Chris Godwin is the they put the franchise tag on him, and they just re-signed their linebacker, Lavonte David. So it's pretty apparent they're not going to be able to pay Barrett what he wants. So Barrett's a guy, honestly, to keep an eye on as well. If we end up losing Lawson, I could see Barrett be a guy we could fall back on, considering that he expected to play here before he signed his last contract with Tampa Bay, but we had an issue. Apparently, our medical staff had an issue with his shoulder injury, which apparently that shoulder injury wasn't that bad because the guy's a beast.
Yeah, they've got Joe Tooney listed as the ninth best free agent available, the
And
offensive guard
we'll stop
from
and we'll
the
talk about Joe Tooney now.
oh yeah, let's just what the let's just stop. Yeah, let's just go right now. Joe Tooney from just up the road, I-75 from Kettering, Ohio. Joe Tooney, offensive guard, age 28. The New England Patriots did not use the franchise tag on Tooney for the second year in a row, and he is now available for the picking. So, with that being the case, NFL.com has it. They state that he's an above average starting guard who never misses a snap. Well, let's rephrase that. It says above average starting guards who never miss a snap get paid so much in free agency that I'm surprised Bill Belichick didn't use the franchise tag on him. This was one that was very surprising when the word started to come out that they were not going to tag Joe Tooney. That was, you know, it was like, okay. But then you kept hearing that the Bengals were going to be interested and in on him. Perfect. What are your thoughts?
Well,
on
I mean, just
Joe
just
Tooney?
So you know, I mean, most outlets are saying this. His projected value is a 5-year contract versus $76 million, which would pay him an annual salary of $15.3 million. He would be arguably become one of, if not the highest paid guard in football. This would be something, as we all know, would be out of the norm of the Bengals. But he's been very, very mocked to the Bengals, a ton of it. He considering he's from the area. He was a Bengals fan growing up. This is almost like a no-brainer, and I this is a move as we've gone back and forth on. The more I think about it, I expect him to sign with the Bengals. I do. I think he's the type of player we need to have in there. He plays the left guard position, which is great because Joe Burrow got hurt because of our left guard hit last season. And Joe Burrow and Tooney would bring something that we don't have yet. He would bring an experienced guard to the position. He would fill in, and he could help everybody across the line. He's instantaneously improving the line. And I think this is the first move they truly need to do. Tomorrow morning, and whenever they start this, or midnight, whenever it starts tonight, this needs to happen. I mean, they truly need to bring this man in. There's a lot of free agent cap. I mean, we've lost AJ Green. We were paying him $18 million last year for essentially nothing. This guy wants $15 million a year. It's a $3 million difference. Let's make it happen. Let's be honest, Chris.
That's what I'd say. When you look at everything, you just, you know, you make it. Sometimes you just got to make it happen, and that's the way this is going here. I mean, you have a chance to really take advantage of a free agent market. That, you know, it's funny because a lot of people are saying, you know, God wants the Bengals to win because of all these, you know, moves that were made and these, you know, players becoming available that are really going to help this team. Joe Tooney does that because, let's be honest, the tackle play last year was not the problem for the Bengals throughout the season. It was the guard play. That's something you and I had talked about. The guard play was the one that, you know.
Absolutely. And Joe Tooney
got – I mean,
and Joe Tooney played 980 snaps last year, which is 21st in the NFL for the guards.
Man.
He played 980 snaps. He only had three penalties in 980 snaps, and he only allowed two sacks. He's a guy, and he gets an overall score for a PFF of 74.2, which puts him in the top 10 in the NFL for guards. This guy is everything the Bengals need. Everything. He's everything the Bengals
exactly.
need. Everything.
Bingo. And that's, again, you add him to the, you know, to the fold, man, I tell you what, you're instantly propping up your offensive line with a great, great player. Now, what do you think the Bengals, what other moves do you see them making or going after on the
I mean, there's a lot of guys available. There's a guy a lot of
short up.
I mean, I think we talked about. I could see Kevin Zeitler coming back to Cincinnati, and I think that would be a smart move by them. He knows the position. He plays right guard. He would be an instantaneous starter. He would essentially fix the position that we had issues with all last year with right guard, filling one guy in with another guy and this guy with that guy. He would come in. He's never missed a game, and he would be once again an instantaneous starter. And he would that right there alone solves the guard position, and essentially then fixes our offensive line issues. I mean,
I'm
just
right there with you.
I'm just going to pull up. I'm trying to pull up his stats here. Let's see here. Right there. There he is.
I mean, Kevin Zeiler was one that you look at the what he did when he was with the Bengals was, you know, incredible. You know, he just did a simply phenomenal job, and he was unfortunately part of that you know, in terms of
Because
everything
it
that
was a number. He
costs
was lost
when they
because of
were
number. He
starting.
lost because of a numbers game. The money wasn't going to be there for
Yeah,
that. The money
and
wasn't going to be
that
there for
ended
that
up.
position that year. So they went elsewhere. But just once again, Zeller's a smart move. He
Exactly.
played 1,000. Now we're saying Joe Thuney played 980 snaps last year. Zeidler played 1,003 snaps last year. Only four penalties out of
Man.
1,003, and only two sacks allowed on 1,003. That means 1,001 other snaps allowed. He didn't allow a sack or any issues. Another 65.9 PFF score, which would put him in the top 25 in the NFL. These two guys are no-brainers. They should
Man,
immediately be guys
it's
you should go after. If we can get, I mean, they're projecting his projection is another at. Let's see here. Let's see for agency. Where are they projecting his contract to be at? They're projecting his contract to be $7 million
now, here's another name here. What about
a year.
Mitchell Schwartz, offensive
Injury
tackle?
started to have an issue with him, and I don't want to get to another guy that we could deal with injuries with. And obviously, he was having issues down the stretch with Kansas City. And obviously, Kansas City's not, if you're
Yeah.
not doing well with Kansas City with their fast-paced offense, he's not going to fit well in our offense. He's a guy I wouldn't like, honestly, try to see him come here. Once again, I mean, if he came here and obviously he came in to fill in a right tackle or something like that, I would be okay with him. But there's other guys I think we could be a little bit better off with. I mean, because he is, I believe he's a right tackle, Schwartz. I mean, we could talk about it. I mean, obviously, just a quick touch on the whole tackle position, because I know everybody's, we're enamoring over the draft here shortly. Penei Sewell, everyone wants him to come here. If everyone was truly to look at the statistics, let's be honest here, the tackles weren't the issue. Jonah Williams played very well when he was in there up until the injuries. And we talk about my man, Fred Johnson. Fred Johnson is not a bad player. He actually didn't play as many snaps as the rest of the guys. He played 491. And I would expect to have gotten better, but he played 491 snaps. He allowed three penalties, and he only allowed two sacks. Fred Johnson, not a bad tackle. Fred Johnson's
Yeah.
a good tackle. I think Fred Johnson would get nothing but better, especially under the tutelage of Polly. I don't think drafting Sewell is the answer. I don't think it's needed. I think Fred Johnson is still a young guy. I think he's fine, and I think we still have our first round pick in Jonah Williams. I mean, I think we should roll forward with the guys we have, pick up the two guards in free agency. Billy Price is absolutely loved by Frank Pollock. In fact, his best seasons were under Frank Pollock. So, and we still have Hopkins as a guy. We could bounce around as a backup, as a guard or a center. I think we're offensive line wise, I think we're pretty well off. I mean, we still have what's his name, Sulafilo. We still have him, who'd be a great player. And I mean, if they want to go out and re-sign any other guys, go out and get who's the guy we brought in last season from Buffalo? Oh, Quinn Spann. He could come back. I mean, these are guys that we could definitely use, because the fifth pick in the draft, especially after hearing Zach Taylor saying that they want to keep Jonah Williams at left tackle, you're not going to draft Sewell at five to play right tackle. You're not. I'm sorry. We could do that in the second round. There's a lot better
Exactly.
things we could be doing in the first round at pick five than drafting a right tackle. I mean, we'll finish up the free agency talk, then we can talk about the draft. But it's like there's a lot better things. So, but other than that, on free agency, I mean, I truly expect them to go after tackles. I expect them to go after two guards. I expect them to fix the offensive line. I think free agency, they could definitely be a player for Tyler Riker possibly coming back as another tight end, because we could definitely use tight end help. They're now Philadelphia released today that Zach Ertz would be available for a third or fourth round pick. There's not many teams in the NFL that would say, you know what, I'll send you a fourth round pick for Zach Ertz. I would have no problem with the Bengals giving up a fourth rounder for Ertz. I really wouldn't.
Now, you're right. Now, here's another name that injured as well, but former number one pick, Eric Fisher.
He's another guy who's
What
been
about
injured. I
him?
mean, since he's played with Kansas City, he's had a lot of injuries.
He tore his Achilles tendon in January. So, you know, if you're gonna bring him in, it's going to be for, he's only 30 years old. Do you look at maybe a multi-year deal for, depending on, you know, you're hoping maybe he'll come back some point this year, but then obviously you're looking at, you know, next year and the following year after that in mind. What
I
are you
mean,
thinking in
he's a
terms of,
guy.
would you take a flyer on
Possibly. I
Fisher?
mean, he has. I mean, let's see. He's been in the elite since 2013. He has besides we played, there's only been one, two seasons in his whole career where he's played all 16. No, three seasons that he's played all 16 games. In the past two seasons, 2019, he only played eight games. In this past season, he ended up tearing his ACL. So we've had major injuries the past two seasons. So, I mean, he's a guy. I mean, I don't think the Bengals want to get into an injury guy. Considering the past two seasons have been injury busts, I think they stay away from a guy like him.
Yeah, I would understand that. I mean, I wouldn't have any problem with that. It was just a name I figured I'd toss out there, but we're thinking Zeitler and
And
Tooney
if not
would be
Zeidler,
two that.
Trey Turner from San Diego.
Yeah,
think
Turner
if
would
we
be
I think
one I
if we
would
can't, because like I
definitely
said,
take a look at.
I have a great inkling about Tooney, and I think if we can't get Zeidler, because I think a lot of teams are going to be in on Zeidler because he's a big name and he's a mauler. I think Trey Turner would be the other guy we could turn to. But
I perfectly
other than
fine with
that, free
that.
agency wise, I
So,
expect the Bengals to be, to re-sign their own guys, their usual, Alex Erickson, I mean, Stephen Carter. These guys will come back on one, maybe 2 year deals. But I mean, I don't expect them to go as big as they did last year. I mean, they're going to get the one big name splash. That's pretty obvious. I mean, Tooney's going to be the guy that they're going to go with. I mean, besides outside their own organization, Tooney's going to be the name. And if the Bengals were to only re-sign, if the Bengals re-sign, Mackenzie Alexander, Carl Lawson, and we were to get Tooney in free agency and another guard, I think everybody in the city would be ecstatic.
Yeah, and I would have to think you would be, you couldn't help but
Absolutely.
be jacked up about that.
Absolutely.
Now, we are going to need wide receiver help. So there's a couple wide receivers out there that, you got names like Marvin Jones, John Brown, Nelson Aguilar.
Curtis Samuel.
Oh, I'm drawing a blank on, Curtis
Yeah, I
T.Y.
love.
Heck, T.Y. Hilton's out there. Will Fuller's out there. So, do you see the Bengals even going after and trying to acquire, Corey Davis? I just realized is one as well. Do you see them going after? Because let's be honest, Juju ain't coming here. We ain't taking him either.
Let's
So, do you see something like
let's
that?
I could
Them
see
going out
someone
and getting
like
one of those guys?
a Corey Davis. I could see that. I could definitely see Corey Davis coming here. I could see Curtis Samuel, considering he's an Ohio
Okay.
State guy. He could be a guy that could fill in. I'm just trying to look down the list here. Some other guys here. Zay Jones from who played in Buffalo, also played in Las Vegas. He's another guy I could see that he could be like a Zach Teller type guy. Dez Bryant's also a free agent. Mohamed Sanu is a free agent. So is Josh Gordon, but I
Yeah.
don't think no one's taking any flyers on Josh Gordon anymore. But I mean, again, I mean,
Yeah, that
even
ship has
Laquon
sailed.
Treadwell, who's a former first round pick, who the Bengals were high on coming out of the draft, he's also a free agent. But if I was the Bengals, I mean, I could honestly truly see. I mean, if I was to say if they were going to go out and get somebody, Corey Davis, or I mean, honestly, I mean, Corey Davis or Curtis Samuel, both really young guys still, and the Bengals are trying to go young.
Yeah,
But I mean,
I
I
would
think Zach
definitely,
Taylor likes to.
I'll be fine with
I
that.
personally think he likes to stick to the draft with his wide receivers, and I think most of us would have no issues with that.
Yeah, I can't argue that. So, well, let's turn our focus to the draft because, there's a lot coming out about that and what the Bengals could do. Now, there's gonna be some serious talent that's gonna be available at number five for the Cincinnati Bengals when they are set to make their pick. Now again, Penei Sewell is the name that consistently pops up linked with the Bengals. Now I am one that I have said I am not for that pick. I am not a I would say that I'm not a big Penei Sewell guy because I think that the Bengals' offensive line woes can be addressed in free agency. And I have one also completely agree with Richard Skinner from Channel 12. He has said consistently, and I cannot, I can't praise this enough. It's spot on that if I'm going to get offensive line help, I'm going to bring in guys that have NFL experience. I cannot stress that enough. I think that is so crucial for a team to bring in a guy with NFL experience if you're going to be helping out your offensive line. Drafting them, I think you can go other ways and get guys who are much better, in my opinion, that you can take care of via free agency as opposed to the draft. So I would say, we're just saying, I would stay away from Penei Sewell in the draft. I think he's good, but again, I would get a guy who has NFL experience via free agency more or faster than I would Penei Sewell at
Absolutely.
number
I agree with you
five.
100%. I mean, I think everyone sees the name Sewell, and that's why they're all jumping at it because, from what he's done in the past seasons, that it's easy to say, all right, this is a guy who comes in. But if anybody wants to truly know who Sewell is, look who he's played against. I mean, he plays in the Pac-10. He never really played against a guy who truly got drafted in the first round from anybody on any team, USC, UCLA, anywhere. So he's never really gone against top talent. Who's to say what he's going to do against TJ Watt? Or someone else, J.J. Watt, or any other big name defensive end. Personally, I think we already have two tackles who have played against top tier talent and are going to get nothing but better with Frank Pollard. That pick can definitely be used idolized a lot better. And I mean, personally, I mean the issues we have with tight end, I think the easiest thing to do, and I mean, I think the smartest move would be, and literally, I think that'd be a killer move, is to draft your guy, Chris, Kyle Pitts from Florida.
Kyle Pitts, man, that's the guy. I think that's, I mean, I have said it, and I've been, all for Kyle Pitts. I think he's the one
He's a
that
game changer.
you bring him in. He's that game changing, yeah. And he gets it done in the SEC. Now, I'm a guy who can't. I don't want to say I can't stand the SEC, but I think that it is so overhyped that it's obnoxious. But let's be honest, these guys are talented. This is D1 college football. You're getting some serious talent out of there, and especially with, you just look at the highlights of Kyle Pitts, and look at the tight ends around this league that are very, very successful. You look at the guys who are, that breed of, I don't want to say uncoverable tight ends, but it's almost like that because, again, they're almost uncoverable. A guy with like Kyle Pitts, he's too big for a safety and he's too fast for a lineman. Like you can't, that's gotta, I mean, that has to have Joe Burrow salivating like crazy to throw to a guy like that who makes contested catches week in, week out. I mean, and you look at some of his highlights, it's unbelievable some of these catches he's bringing in. And I'm like, holy cow, this guy. Man, you add him to this offense with a healthy Joe Mixon, with T. Higgins, with Tyler Boyd. I mean, Auden Tate, and then like I said, we're going to get another receiver somewhere, whether it's in the draft or via free agency. Holy cow, these weapons! I mean, Joe Burrow has to be jacked at what he's seeing coming up
Oh,
here. I mean,
absolutely.
especially if you bring in a
And
guy like
I mean,
that.
and if not Kyle Pitts, I mean, if they decide to go a different direction, I mean, I think most people here at Cincinnati who's Bengals fans are going to be huge. If it was, Ja'Marr Chase from LSU, who's a good friend of Joe Burrow's, and everybody loves him, and he's a guy who opted out last year, so we don't know what he truly is now. But I mean, they expect him to be who he was, and he could be a great talent. I mean, the wide receivers from Alabama, DeVonta Smith and Waddle. I mean, both guys, they could be amazing talents, and I don't think anybody in Cincinnati would be upset if they drafted any one of those three or Kyle Pitts. I mean, everyone keeps
Yeah.
falling back because they think Sewell is a no-brainer because everyone saw what Bobby Hart did. Everyone needs to stop worrying about Bobby Hart because, let's be honest, Bobby Hart's going to be cut here any day now because they're going to need to free up salary cap, so he'll be gone. And I mean, like I said, Fred Johnson plays well. Once you give Pollock the truly time to go over the all the games tape that he has to watch from all of last season, he's going to realize what Fred Johnson was and what he could do with him. So, I mean, I truly expect, I think everyone's going to be surprised when they, I think everyone will be surprised when they don't end up drafting Sewell at five.
You know what? My God, I'm all for it because I think you got to stay away from Rashawn Slater and Penei Sewell at five. And even if you trade back, my gosh, don't go for Rashawn Slater at, wherever
No,
that high back
absolutely
pick
not.
is.
Considering most, I mean, I was reviewing a couple of mock drafts. A lot of mock drafts don't have him going until the second round. So, I mean, I don't want to see a guy who's being mocked in certain mock drafts in the second round drafted in the first round. I just don't want to see it. No.
Yeah, that's definitely quite the reach. I think, you know, I think if you're in the Bengals, if you're able to get bring in that, you know, that offensive weapon at number five, you can fall back and get a re, you know, get a corner in the second round. I think that's a perfect, you know, that's a perfect spot to get a corner, because later on in the draft, you're going to be able to get an offensive lineman that you can plug in there as a,
Absolutely.
you know, as a depth piece.
Absolutely.
Yeah. I mean, so it's not all, you know, everybody's so enamored with offensive line. I think that they look at what, you know, they, I'm trying to think of the best way to put it, but, you know, they see what, you know, they see what it was last year. And it, but if you actually take a look into it, it wasn't as bad as people are
You
saying
have
it
you
was.
exactly.
It's
You
really
have to physically
not.
look at the stats like we have. I mean, going in there and you look at, like I said, you look at the stats from Fred Johnson. They're good stats. He's a good player. It is, you know, people forget about him because his name's not a fancy name. I mean, it's like, you know, everyone remember Bobby Hart because we re-signed him. I mean, people need to remember, Pittsburgh did not want to lose Fred Johnson because they knew what they had in him. They tried to put him on waivers and they expected nobody to sign him. And what happens? We signed him. The
Exactly.
Bengals knew that. So they and Pittsburgh was they were literally enamored. Had Fred Johnson was literally he was blindsided by he said that the Bengals picked up. Everybody expects him to go right through waivers and right back to Pittsburgh and right to his practice squad. But no, the Bengals saw the talent, they knew what they saw, and they grabbed him. And I personally think he could be a guy that could be a guy on the right tackle position for years to come, if not left tackle. I mean, let Jonah Williams play right tackle. Those two guys could play well together for years to come. Putting two veteran guards next to him. You get Tooney and you put Zeiler or Trey Turner next to those two guys. There's no issues with the offensive line at all.
Exactly. And this team is going to be completely different, you know, moving forward because of that comfort level that Joe Burrow and any, I mean, heck, if it's Brandon Allen or if it's, oh, what's his face?
Finley.
Oh, geez. Yeah, Ryan Finley. Oh, how can I forget good old Ryan Finley there? Whoever it is to start the season, you know, until Burrow's, you know, perfectly fine to come back. You know, you've got to feel comfortable with what you're seeing ahead, like in front of you. You know, if they're able to shore up and bring in two veteran, like you said, veteran guards, and again with Frank Pollock as your offensive line coach, that's going to make a much bigger, you know, improvement on the line than what I think most people are thinking. Just because Jim Turner, I think, was that bad. Jim Turner, you know, I was not well respected around the league. And the only reason he got the job
He's
here
related.
is because of Zach Taylor. Yeah, that's it. Otherwise, you know, we're not dealing with this. We're, you know, we would still have Frank Pollock as our offensive line coach. Thank God he came back, because now, you know, again, this offensive line, I think, is going to be much, much, much better
I
than what
agree.
people are thinking. And all it's going to take is, you know, one or two signings, and, you know, you're going to be able to flip-flop this offensive line from last year to, you know, to an obviously a much better position, you know, next season than what we saw this coming year or this past year. So, again, all is not lost. If you're, you know, if you're really looking at it, again, we, you know, 4-11-1 is not the prettiest record that you want to see, especially with Joe Burrow. But here's the thing, again, this is no longer, and I can't stress this enough, this is no longer a Mike Brown run team. And folks, I say this, I've said it until I'm, you know, consistently, and I'll say it until I'm blue in the face. Mike Brown always wanted to win football games. He always did. So for people to say Mike Brown never wanted to win, it was all about the money, that's wrong. Mike Brown wanted to win, but he wanted to be just like his dad. Unfortunately, it's you know, he's not. And you know, that he tried to win that way. Unfortunately, it was not, you know, simply just not the case. And that, you know, really, you know, that made it, you know, difficult there for the, you know, for the Bengals to, you know, to win moving forward because of that perceived block that we have. But that's not the case anymore. You know, you're looking at now, like you said, You've got, his daughter and granddaughter running this team now, and you're seeing things happen that we have not seen previously from this football team. And I'm telling you, it's, there's light at the end of the tunnel. I
Absolutely,
promise you,
and
the
if
light
people
is
don't want to
there.
believe that, just go online and you can research who each team sent to the most recent owners meeting. Mike Brown was not at the last owners meeting. Elizabeth Blackburn was at the last owners meeting. She was there. It's not Mike Brown anymore. She is running the team, and that's his, like you were saying, that's his granddaughter. That's who's running the team now. She was at the owners meeting, not him.
See, and that's all you like. Again, people are so, and this is what, and I've defended the Brown family for years because of, personal reasons, everything like that. And, I'm lucky enough to know the Brown family, but I tell you what, there's a genuine love for the team, the organization, the city. That is all. I mean, I can speak to it. It's there. They want to win. And now I think with Mike stepping aside more and more, you're going to see a lot, because let's be honest, when you, it's like that in every real world situation. Grandparents are stuck in one spot. You know what I'm saying? Like, it's up to the younger generation. They are more willing to adapt in terms of, that kind of stuff than what their grandparents are. That's just, that's like that way more, that's a lot more common, in a real life situation. And that's what you're seeing here in this case with Katie and Elizabeth here taking this team, taking the reins of this organization as we're moving forward in 2021 and beyond. I'm telling you, they make a couple of moves here and there. This team is going to be, they're going to be pretty decent and pretty fun to watch. And I'm telling you, if they continue to keep on the same trajectory, this team is going to be, they're going to be back to where we saw a couple years ago when the Bengals were making the
Yep,
playoffs
I
year in,
agree with
year out.
100%. I mean, starting tomorrow, I mean, like I said, tomorrow is they're allowed to actually start talking to free agents. Tomorrow's gonna be an exciting day for this team and this, the city as well. I mean, to see who they're gonna go after. I mean, because I mean, a guy like Tooney, you're gonna have to immediately jump on. And I mean, he's a guy who's gonna be wanted by a lot of other
Oh,
teams.
yeah.
I mean, we've heard the Ravens, we've heard the Jets. I mean, and the Bengals are the main name that everyone's saying. And it's like, if they want him, they're gonna have to go get him. And if you see him go after him fast, that's just proof of the pudding that the Bengals are committed to winning for Joe Burrow now.
And here's the thing. This is a crucial offseason for the Cincinnati Bengals. If they do it right, they bring a couple guys in here, get the job done. I'm telling you, you're going to set yourself up for some success as we move forward. If you don't, you swing and miss, it could get ugly here pretty quick. I don't think that's going to be the case. Now, I have a lot more confidence now than what I did in years past. But, it's all, starting tomorrow, it's definitely going to be interesting to see how it all plays out. So, I think, again, this is going to be a lot of fun to watch starting tomorrow and see how things are going to play out for this organization. And even the rest of the league, because there's gonna be some dominoes that are gonna fall, and it's gonna be very, very intriguing to see how it all plays out.
And like I said,
So,
Chris, that starts first thing
I
tomorrow
mean,
morning. I
with
mean, there's
that,
no specific time for the whole legal tampering. So as of midnight tomorrow, I mean, on Monday, teams can start to like legally talk, start speaking to these free agents. So I mean, the Bengals are going to have to move fast.
I would have one person calling Zeitler, another person calling. I'd have four different phone calls at 12:01 a.m. I tell you what. I mean, if they want me to make some calls, I'll do it. I'll take some, I'll pop some
Absolutely.
caffeine and I'll be good to go.
I'll
I'll make those
pick
calls.
two. I'll pick Tooney up at the airport. Let's make this
I'm right
happen.
there
Let's make
with
this
you. Let's
happen.
do
And I
it.
mean, and I think,
We
like
can,
you were saying, I mean, this one last thing on for me for on Zeitler. I think Zeitler is the guy who could come back and immediately fill in and actually enjoy being back here.
I completely agree. I completely agree. So, well, I think that'll wrap it up for this episode here. Again, we thank you guys so much for, for tuning in here to this episode. And again, as always, make sure you follow us on Twitter at I am Chris Asbrock and at CincyZZ for Nick. Make sure you check out the website, www.iscincy.com. That is www.iscincy.com. And always, for all your fitness needs, make sure you check out fnxfit.com. That is fnxfit.com. Use the promo code BDiesel for 15% off your next purchase. And again, thank you guys so much for sticking with us here as I'm battling this nasty head cold. So I truly appreciate it. Nick, thank you so much. And we will certainly be back later on as we will probably take a look at the draft and everything after that. So as always, thank you guys so much.
Chris.
And have yourselves a good one. Thank you. Take care.